Matthew chapter 16. Today I'm going to begin a series of messages, and I'll tell you the details of that in just a minute after you find your text and we read it. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 21. As you find it, go ahead and stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Verse 21 of chapter 16. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And Jesus said to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Beginning today, I'm going to begin a series of messages that I've entitled GPS, God's Path to Salvation. Father, thank you for your word. We ask the blessings upon this time that we have here together. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that our chains are gone because of the work that was done on the cross. And because of the empty tomb this morning, we can have freedom from our sin. We can have salvation. I pray as a lost, dying world is seeking and trying to find the right answer, Lord, may we turn them to the right direction. And that direction is you. And we ask, Lord, that you'll bless these days that we have here together. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. GPS, those wonderful devices. You know, I understand by doing some research that the satellite system, global positioning system, is what that stands for, was initially developed by NASA and the military for their use initially, and that's what it began to be used for. But as the technology developed and grew and more and became more affordable, they made it available to the general consumer. Now most of our smartphones have some type of GPS locator. You have Google Maps probably on your phone. If you've bought a new vehicle of any type in recent years, you either have the option to add a GPS system to your vehicle, or some are even now, it's just standard equipment on a lot of the vehicles and models that are coming out. And so we're familiar what it means when we use the term GPS. We know what we're talking about. We're looking for direction. We want to find out where we're going. So in these series of messages that we're going to focus on these next few weeks, we're going to focus on this series on Jesus' way to the cross, the grave, and to victory. It is this group of messages that the Lord has been working on my heart and I've been preparing as we lead up to the next few weeks to Easter, that we're going to begin following God's path to salvation, God's GPS. And we're going to see how Jesus made the way for us to have victory. You know, the thing about it is, just by way of introduction to this part of the message this morning, many people in this world do not know where they're going. Now, I'm not just talking about on Interstate 85, okay? And if you go through a construction zone and a detour, Lord help you. I mean, people just don't know what to do. They don't know what... And I think too many times we rely upon the fact that we're not paying attention. Had a guy nearly hit me this morning. I was pulling out my own driveway across the street. And three cars coming from Pelzer direction around the curve as they're heading this way, and one decided he was in a really big hurry. I think he was afraid the snow was going to snow him in. And so he decided to pass on a double yellow line in front of our church, in front of our property, as people were trying to come out of the other roads leading around here. And he was just in a mess. And I did what every normal, courteous, patient driver should do. I laid down on the horn. I'm sitting in my driveway as this truck's going by, and Donald has seen it coming out of his own house and his own driveway out through here, and Bonnie and Morris, they've experienced it too. I just laid down on the horn just as good as I could. And you know what? The guy looked at me as he went by, and passing in a double yellow line on the wrong side of the road, passing other people. He could have hit several people, and he's got that big phone up here up against his ear, and he looks at me like, what? You know, he's got his hands up, look like what? And I'm going, you know, like this. And I was not trying to bless him or give him a good day in any way, but I was just trying to get his attention. People don't know where they're going. Many times because they're not paying attention. And many times they just don't know where the way is. But we're going to see in these few weeks as we examine the final hours of our Lord here on this earth, as we examine what we call the passion of our Lord, we're going to see that God has laid out a path to salvation. And it's a very clear path. It's a very easy path. And it's not one where you need Google or MapQuest in order to find it. It's one that if you just seek the Lord Jesus Christ, He has made it very clear how you can find salvation. So Jesus made the way to the cross, then to the grave, and then on to victory. And I want you to begin as we make our first stop this morning. I use the text that I just read. Jesus, in context here, has just had a conversation with His disciples as to who do they say He really is. Peter made that great declaration that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then He begins in verse 21, laying out for them that He was going to go to Jerusalem, that He's going to suffer, that He's going to die, and that He would rise again the third day. He even made it very clear that if you're going to follow Me, here's your GPS in verse 24. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Because whatever you gain in this world, it's not worth it if you lose your own soul. And so our first stop this morning is going to be found in chapter 26. So take your Bibles and turn over a few pages for the rest of the message. In chapter 26, we're going to go to our first stop on Jesus' way to the cross, the grave, and to victory. And the first stop of God's path to salvation brings us to Matthew chapter 26. And you've noticed verses 36 through 56 is where we're going to focus this morning. We'll not read all of these verses as we go along, but we'll just refer to them as we go through each part of the message and each part of the outline. And we trust that God will open our hearts this morning to see His direction. In Matthew chapter 26, we find that following the upper room experience, Jesus has made His way to the foot of the Mount of Olives, to a place that is known as the Garden of Gethsemane. This is our first stop. This is where we will be this morning as we're going along our way following God's GPS. Notice in verse 36 of chapter 26, it says that then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that is James and John, and began to be sorrowful and heavy. He saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thou as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto His disciples and findeth them asleep, and said, Peter, what? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again away the second time and prayed, O My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same. the same words. We'll stop right there for just a moment. On our first stop of God's path to salvation, there are several things we find in these verses and the ones that will follow to help us to understand how God has made it possible for us to not only know where we're going, but we can have victory along the way. How that what God has promised for us, what has God made available for us, that we do not have to wander around as someone who's driving with the GPS and you're lost and you've made a wrong turn and it keeps doing this, recalculating. Did you know that those little GPS devices, if it's got a voice activation on it that talks to you, do you know when you turn that silly thing off? You can mute that thing. Mine stays muted. I got enough people trying to tell me what to do. I don't need another voice telling me that, all right, while I'm trying to drive, all right? So if you feel like that your life is just a constant recalculating and you're constantly trying to find your way, let me share with you on our first stop this morning what Jesus has made available for you and how this will help you follow God in your life. Notice number one, we find that the first thing that Jesus wants us to do is to follow Him. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. The first part of this path to salvation is very clear. Jesus told His disciples, except a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, can't be one of my disciples. And Jesus over and over preached this kind of thing. He did not list a thing of good works. He did not say that you've got to go through a class or take somebody's course, that you don't have to put money into play. All of the things that people are seeking to do in life to try to get on God's good side, none of those things are things that Jesus said you had to do. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. But for some, they struggle to follow Jesus completely. The stories are full of the New Testament, of those who would start out following Jesus with the crowd and then fade away. There were those that Jesus challenged them to even go ahead and deny yourself, leave those things behind and follow. But they really wasn't ready to do that. Follow Jesus completely. In fact, we will even see even this small group of those closest to the Lord, these 12 disciples, struggled more than anyone else did when it comes to following Jesus. You know, even the fact that when Jesus comes to the garden and He brings His group of disciples after this experience in the upper room, there are 11 remaining with Him now by the time they get to the Garden of Gethsemane. And now these 11 come to this place and Jesus takes three of those three closest to Him, Peter, James, and John. And He takes them further into the garden, asks them to do something very special. Sit here and pray. Now you would think that that was not something that would be very hard to do. He didn't ask them to do anything that was physically demanding. He didn't ask them to do things that were out of their comfort zone. He didn't ask them to go out and change the world. He just very simply said, sit here and pray while I go yonder. Following Jesus sometimes can be a great struggle. We see these disciples begin to fall asleep. We see these disciples who we don't even find that they actually did any praying at all. We just find them asleep at the wheel. Too many times when we're seeking God's direction in our life, it is just like some of those drivers that they determine when there's been an accident. It's very likely they fell asleep at the wheel. If you've ever fallen asleep while driving, you know that that's one of the scariest things that could ever happen to you. To realize that you have lost your consciousness, that you have eyes have closed and you begin to fade away into sleep while you're at the wheel and you lose control of that vehicle, that's one of the worst things you could do. And for those who have a commercial license, that would end your commercial driving forever if you were convicted of some of those things as falling asleep at the wheel. These disciples literally fell asleep at the wheel at a time when Jesus needed them just to simply follow Him and be faithful disciples. Folks, I'm concerned today for a brand of Christianity and a brand of church membership that's being promoted in our culture today. That as long as you just come and sign up, put your name on the list, and if you've joined and went through a class or you've gotten dunked, and now you're good to go. You're okay for eternity. It doesn't matter if you do anything for the Lord or not. Just come every now and then. Put your little 2 cents worth in. Make an appearance every once in a while, and that will be fine. You'll never find anything like that in the Word of God, of where Jesus said it's okay to just do a little. God and Jesus were always saying, give it all. Give it all to me. Surrender your entire lives, your preferences, your prejudices, your opinions. Take your schedules and your lives and give it all unto the Lord and follow me completely, and I'll give you everything that you ever needed. And I'll bless you beyond measure if you'll just follow me. So for this first stop, we understand that it may be a struggle. There may be things that we don't want to let go of. There may be times that we're tired. There may be times we're frustrated. Maybe times we don't understand what path God has taken us on and where we're going. But Jesus has always reminded us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He even told his disciples just a few minutes ago in the upper room, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. He said, let not your heart be troubled about any of this. So first thing, we need to follow Jesus. Number two, not only to follow Jesus, but we must understand the Father's will. The Father's will. It is here as we begin to listen in onto the prayer of our Savior. As he begins to pray to his Heavenly Father about what is to take place in the hours that were ahead of him, we see so many times that Jesus is saying, not my will, but thine will. He says it in verse 39. He says it again in verse 42. And he says it again. They said he goes and prays in verse 44 the third time and says the same words. For three times, and one gospel writer tells us that these were broken about an hour apiece of praying that Jesus was seeking to be obedient to the Father's will. Now here's a problem that many Christians face today is that we grow up and we live in a self-centered, me-only culture. That it's all about what I want. It's all about my opinion. It's all about my rights. It's all about what's best for me. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what's best for me. Have you realized, not yet, not figured it out yet, that what God's will is for you is what's best for you? And if you seek to do anything other than the Father's will, you're doing something that's not best for you. What God may have for you, you may not understand now. You may not see the end result of it now. And you're not guaranteed that you're going to have everything you ever wanted. God said, I'll give you everything you ever need. And he said, I'll bless you beyond measure and things that you won't understand. But the problem of our self-centeredness and our selfish conversations and our culture today is that we've lost the idea that God knows best. And the Father's will is always the best for us. You say, well, I want to have some fun. Sometimes our idea of fun ends up in a mess. I want to kind of go my own way and sow my wild oats. I want to feel it out. I want to go check it out the world before I really... Now, wait a minute. How do you know that you're going to get back where you're supposed to be? You may not make it back. If you get off the path. And that GPS starts telling you, you've made a wrong turn. It starts trying to turn you around. It starts to, and if you do that long enough, what do people do? They turn it off. They don't want to follow the path that's been laid out to tell them to take them where they're supposed to be going. So a lot of times they just unplug the sucker. And then now you're just driving around on your own. You don't realize there's a detour up ahead. You don't realize there's a traffic backup. You don't realize that that road or that bridge is out. And you're going the wrong way. The Father's will is always the best. You may not understand it. And right now you may think, well, I've got a better way figured. Let me do this first. Let me do these things and get these. No, that's not what he told Abraham. He told Abraham, get up, leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that I'll show you. Abraham, well, where are you going, Abraham? I really don't know. But God said, go. I'm packing up and I'm going. And God said, go. And so many times that's the way it is. But notice that the theme of
this point of the message is to understand this. Jesus himself told his disciples, the spirit indeed is willing, in verse 41, but the flesh is weak. Here's what you must understand about following the Father's will and following the GPS this morning. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to mess up. You have to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to help you follow the Father's will. That's why Jesus is praying in the garden. Jesus is not having a conversation with God to try to talk God out of the cross. And I've seen some theologians who've made a terrible misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of Scripture in this passage. God is not trying to talk God out of the cross. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit done settled this before the Garden of Eden. They already had it settled before the foundation of the world that this was the way it was going to be. But what God the Father and Jesus the Son were trying to do here at this point is to make sure he is on the right path. He's doing exactly the way God the Father wanted it. He says, I will do exactly as you will, no matter what. And that's what God wants you to do in your life. Follow him, no matter what. Your spirit and your flesh will always be fighting against each other. There'll always be some family member or friend. There'll always be somebody who'll say, oh, you don't need to do all that. Do this first. Get this organized and get all these things in place. Your flesh will always be weak. That's why you must follow the Father's will, because that's always the best. And here's the last part, and it's a negative part of this, but you have to understand the negative to appreciate the positive. Notice number 3. In God's path to salvation, Jesus wants us to follow him. We must be obedient to the Father's will and understand what that is. But then we must be aware of the failure of all. Follow Jesus, the Father's will, and number 3, failure of all. You would think that at this part of the story, that we could say that, boy, this just come together. Here's Jesus and the disciples. They've had this wonderful garden prayer meeting. They had this upper room experience. They are on board. They're all in on this crucifixion thing. And they're ready to face whatever is coming down for them. And let's just, as one comedian, country comedian would say, let's get her done. Okay? But that's not what happens. Even after all the teaching, after all the encouragement, even after all the one-on-one, and after 3 hours of praying in the garden, well, Jesus did the praying, the disciples were asleep at the wheel. That led to the failure that took place. As you read the rest of the passage, beginning in verse 47, we find several things that happened. First of all, I got them listed here for you. Judas, one of the 12, conspires and carries out the ultimate betrayal. Judas. He was the most respected of all. He was probably the one with the most education. They entrusted him with the finances of the group. Found out later, you know, that he was a thief. He was stealing. He was the most conniving of all. And yet, if you go back, when the disciples think back and say, well, you know what? He seemed smart and he seemed like he'd handle things fine. But you know, we never saw anything spiritual out of Judas. Judas never had anything positive to say for the Lord. He always griped and complained. He always had something negative to say about what was going on. He never brought anything positive to the table. He always had some reason to look at it from another point of view. There was nothing spiritual about Judas in his discipleship. Turns out the reason why was he was never a really true follower of Christ. He even gave in to Satan to carry out the ultimate betrayal. I'm afraid that there are many people who claim to be Christians, who have names on church rolls all across our churches, who are not real followers of Jesus Christ, because you never see any spiritual fruit out of them. You never hear any spiritual conversation.
You never see them doing anything for the Lord. You never see them encouragement, participate. And I'm not talking everybody has to teach or sing or preach. And those are gifted for people who are called to do that. But every one of us are gifted with fruits of the Spirit that should be evident in all of our lives. And if there is no fruit of the Spirit in your life, there's a very strong possibility you're not a true follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I've been a member of this church. Well, whoop-de-doo-doo. That means nothing. If you're not following Jesus, you're not a real follower. If you're not obeying His will, if you're not doing all the things, if there's no fruit, and Judas was one of those. Judas carried out the ultimate thing. Imagine the shock on the faces of the other 11 when they saw Judas and the soldiers show up in the garden. And he planted that kiss on the Lord and betrayed Him. I think those guys were floored. They had no idea. Because I'm really thinking that, and we had some good old country boy fishermen in this crowd, okay? We had some good old country redneck fellas in this crowd. And I'm sure if they thought for a minute that Judas was going to do this, I think they would have took him out behind the upper room and they would have whooped him before he ever went and done it. Don't you think so? I mean, think about it. I mean, these were guys that one of them right now picks up a sword and goes after all these soldiers. I think if they thought for a minute that Judas was a betrayer, they would have whooped him to keep him from doing what he was doing. But Judas betrayed him. But let's not be so hard on him and leave the others out, because in verse 56, after the betrayal was carried out and Jesus arrested, notice what the rest of the disciples did. They fled. It says at the end of verse 56, all the disciples forsook him and fled. I mean, they ran. They dropped it all and they took off. Now, the soldiers were not there to arrest the disciples. All they had orders to do was to arrest Jesus. But the disciples felt like, what's the use? It's not going the way we thought it was. I'm not getting my way. They disagreed with what I had to say. I'm going to just take my ball and go home. How many disciples have fled from our churches through the years, and you never see anything else out of them again? The 11 who should have stood toe-to-toe, even given their own lives at this point, should have stood there and stood up for the Lord. But no one did, except one. We find out later it's Peter. Takes a sword and struck off a servant of the high priest. At that point, they could have cut his head off. And they've been legitimate to do it. But Jesus stepped in and said, no, that's not the way we're going to do this. Because would you notice two things that twice that Jesus said, in verse 54 and in verse 56, He says, this is how the Scripture is to be fulfilled. This is in the plan of God. This is the way it's going to happen. He was in His Father's will. But then it doesn't end there. After the disciples flee, the verses that follow through the rest of chapter 26 give us the tragic story of the account of Peter, one of the three, one of the big three, as we would call, of Peter, James, and John, the one who was the most vocal of the group, the one who just took up the sword and cut the ear off of one of the servants. It didn't take long for him to fail as well. Jesus had already told him back in the upper room, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What happened? Exactly what Jesus said. Peter denied the Lord, and after he denied him the third time, in verse 74, it says, and immediately the cock crew. When we were in Israel, we were at the place of Caiaphas's palace and the place of the high priest where they believe this was there in the old city of Jerusalem. And you look over to the side of this building, and on the top of this building, the very top of this building, this beautifully ornate building, you know what's on the top of that thing? A rooster. There's a rooster, like a wind vane, that's on the top of the Caiaphas's high priest house there in Jerusalem in the old city. And our tour guide pointed us out that was intentional to remind us of the story of Peter. I guarantee you, Peter, for the rest of his life, every time he heard a chicken crow, he'd jump. I really do. I think it reminded him of what he had failed the Lord in, denied the Lord. You say, well, I would never do that. I would never deny the Lord. Oh, really? How many times have we had an opportunity to witness or share our faith with somebody, but we give some excuse why we just walk away and we don't do it? We're busy. We're in a hurry. Our family's waiting in the car. The gas is pumping, whatever it is. And we deny the opportunity to make a witness for the Lord. We do the same thing. We do the same thing. The reason this point is so important this morning, the failure of all, is to remind us this is why Jesus is going to the cross. This is why Jesus is going to die for our sins. And that brings me to the conclusion of this all, of this part of it. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners here this morning. There's no one any better than anybody else. There's no one that's got a foot in the door quicker than anybody else. And Jesus is telling his disciples, I am the only way to heaven. He told them in the upper room when he gave that wonderful, wonderful soliloquy in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And one of the disciples, Thomas, who said, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. How can we know the way? Here it is. Here's your GPS for this morning. John chapter 14, verse 6. Write this down. Jesus is the only way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want direction in your life that will take you exactly to follow Jesus and obey the Father's will, because realizing that on your own you're a failure before God, you understand that you have to must recognize that Jesus is the only way in your life this morning. And when we try to do our own way, we get all lost. We make a mess. Jesus said, I am the way. Your GPS this morning is telling you, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Let's be obedient to Him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Monty and Jeannie are coming to lead us in a hymn of invitation. This morning, God is asking you to follow Him. He's wanting to lead you in your life. And there, many of us standing here this morning can give testimony and evidence of when we've gotten away from the path. When we've gotten away from following God's GPS, we've made a real mess of things. Some of you this morning have never made that first step, trusting Christ as your Savior. You've been a church member, or you've been dependent upon your good works or your name or you've something else, but you've never truly had that moment in your life where you acknowledge Jesus as your Savior and yourself as a sinner, and apart from God, you can never go to heaven. It's time that you get on the right path this morning. It's time you turn on the GPS and begin to follow Jesus. I invite you, if you're not really saved this morning, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, that today would be the day that you'll give your whole life to Him. Follow Him in every area of your life. Trust Him and follow Him in obedience. Come and accept Him as your Savior and be saved today. Maybe you're here, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I may be a member of this church or some other church. I know I'm saved, but I'm not following the will of the Father in my life. There's some areas of my life I'm struggling with, falling asleep at the wheel. And I really haven't been obedient in all of these things. I haven't been tithing, haven't been faithful in my church attendance, haven't read my Bible in weeks or months, haven't spent time praying other than pray over a meal. And I need to get back in the Father's will. He welcomes you with open arms this morning. He invites you to come. Follow Him. Be obedient in the Father's will. And recognize all of us have failed. Even these closest to the Lord failed at crisis moments. But as the song earlier, that amazing grace causes those chains to be gone. Thank God for that this morning. You can experience His grace. You can experience His forgiveness if you'll come and follow Him and get down on your knees as a child of God and say, God, I'm sorry.
Sorry I haven't been obedient. Sorry I failed you in these areas of my life. Help me, Lord, to get back on the path. Help me to follow your direction for my life. Father, I pray that wherever it is you lead us this morning, we'll go. Whatever it is you have for us in our lives this morning, I pray we'll be obedient. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation this morning. 598 is wherever he leads, I'll go. Monty comes to lead us.